I don't think I've ever preached on this psalm here at Mount Zion, but it's one of my very super favorites. All right, well, ask the Lord to help us. Lord, I know this is what you want me to preach on tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name that it will be interesting and clear. But I know it's of our times. We need help with it. So I do ask your help, Lord. And I pray your blessing will be on everyone that's being instructed on these church grounds tonight. Keep your hand on us, on our families. Oh, we do thank you, Lord. Give us clear minds. And make what the Word of God memorable to us, I pray. Thank you for the answer in Jesus' name. Amen. What I preach about this morning, not that anybody knows, preach about what to do when you get in trouble.
Since you preach, don't drink beer.
Yeah, I preach on that. Drinking beer is not appropriate.
Help, yelling help.
Yeah, yelling help, that famous Anglo-Saxon prayer. Help. What else, Jason? Come on, lay it on me, man.
Don't
do what?
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. Okay. All right. It doesn't work for God's warriors. If we weren't in a battle, it wouldn't be so critical. You know, just trying to be nice church people and play church and do good and never do bad. But that isn't what it is. There's a battle here going on. All right. Now, the 73rd Psalm is about coping with evil. It's about how you cope with evil. Now, I think the reason that God had laid on my heart as I prayed tonight, usually I continue from the morning, but I felt, no, go to the 73rd Psalm. Okay, is because of the problems that are accelerating in our culture. Now, you don't see it maybe as clearly as I do because you don't have that much to compare it with. But the world is going bananas, particularly in terms of homosexuality behavior. And I don't preach. I didn't come down from the Bay Area to preach about homosexuality. I could not care about it less. But it is obvious that it is taking on unbelievable proportions. I noticed that in Spain, which is a Catholic country, last week, one of the real big shots said he's going to put the Catholic Church on a separate track of some kind. I didn't get it altogether clear because they did not agree with his program to educate all the children in homosexuality. And this is all over the place. I never thought I would live to see the day when the world would go straight into Sodom. That was the problem with Sodom. And that's why God poured out his fire on it. And to this day, we use the term sodomy. And yet, it is unbelievable. Just recently, the mayor of San Diego declared that the month of July was gay, lesbian, and transgender month. There's a lot of people went down there and fought against that, but the council passed it anyway. Well, then the fire chief, the captain in San Diego, who herself is a lesbian, can you imagine? Oh boy, the world's turned upside down. She ordered some of the firemen to march in the gay parade. Okay. Well, they didn't want to do it, but it was an order, and they had to do it because they're under her authority. Well, what happened is, I don't believe this, but as they were going along in the parade, the men on the sidelines, the audience, were flirting with them. Well, you know, most guys don't want another man flirting with them. And it's enough for you to do it to some men, you'll be eating soft food for the rest of your life. I just don't believe And they don't want that kind of thing around them. Okay. Well, there was the right-wing newspapers got into it, and the captain said she said, "Oh, she, you know, she didn't know anything about it, but she'd see what she could do about it," and blah blah blah. Okay, bad enough. Those poor guys. But I noticed in the letters to the editor. Now, there was one section just devoted to a response to this brouhaha, this making firefighters march in a gay parade when they're not gay and they didn't want to do it. And so it's what you call a brouhaha, that is, a general mess. So in the letters to the editor, to the newspaper, they had one section devoted to responses. Well, I thought, surely, you know, usually in San Diego, you get a pretty balanced response to things. You get right-wingers, you get left-wingers, and you get people in the middle. Very reasoned responses most of the time. But I couldn't believe the responses. It was, what's wrong with these guys? Did a little flirting bother them? And, you know, it was all, you know, they were asked to do it, and they did it, so what's the big deal? Can you believe that? In our, supposed to be the finest city, America's finest city, I'd sure hate to see the worst one. I thought there would be at least three or four people that would write in and say, this is an abomination. But instead it was, oh, what's the big deal? Some woman wrote in and said, well, men are all the time flirting with me, so what's the problem? Well, anyway, the homosexual, and I said, to me, it's just another sin. I don't have anything. I don't get in a rage about it or anything. If a guy wants to be delivered, there's deliverance. If he doesn't, well, that's his problem with God. It's a Bible sin. And that's all there is to it. You know, there is a yuck factor. One of the writers, a couple of years ago, said the problem is there's a yuck factor, and what they mean is that the average person, it isn't that he wants to be intolerant. That isn't the point. He doesn't want to be hateful or mean, but there's a yuck to it. Well, I know exactly what he's talking about. So we have that, and then we have the abortion, and then we have all the pornography, and we have the rest of it. Well, we know that's a fact. Now, what I think we're looking at here, it looks to me like in another year or two, we're going to have a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress and Senate and the House of Representatives. Well, I'm not Republican and I'm not Democratic and I'm not Libertarian and I don't belong to the Green Party. I try to look at each issue and say, well, this appears to be the righteous thing and the unrighteous. So I'm not up here as making a case for the Republican Party or anything of the kind. I'm not into politics, not into it at all. But you need to know that the Democratic Party, which historically has been the party of the poor and the working man, historically, whereas the Republicans have been the party of the rich. That was true up to probably 1930 or maybe 50. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was pretty sympathetic with the poor, and the poor loved him. But now it's not that way. The issue is not any longer between the rich and the poor. It's between those who are liberal and those who are conservative. And as a rule, and I'm neither liberal nor conservative, I look at the issue. I get so mad when I see animals being slaughtered. I'm telling you, it's unreasonable, because I should get more excited about kids starving to death. But there was an article in the Smithsonian about gorillas being slaughtered for no reason. That gravels me. I'd like to get those hunters and cut off their head and put them on somebody's wall for a trophy. You know, if some gorilla had a house, you put their eye, and I wouldn't be upset about that. I figure you had it coming. It's not fair to treat animals that way. Well, that would make me a liberal. See, that would make me a liberal. But then when it comes into stuff like, let's bring the troops home, regardless of what happens, just bring the boys home, you know, stick your head under the bed and bring the boys home, and the Middle East will blow up, then I tend to be a conservative. So I try to look at things for what they are without allowing anyone to stereotype me. That means to say, well, that's what he is, so he can always be counted on to react against the Sierra Club and everything because he's a conservative. And then if the liberals, conservatives hear about me and the guerrillas, they'll say, oh, he's a liberal. That's the way he is. Everything he thinks of is liberal. He wants to bring the troops home regardless of what happened. Oh, the newspapers love to set people against people. Do you know why? It sells papers. There's no more profound than that. If there's no problem, they'll create one. They've done it in the past, too. They've deliberately produced problems to get people at each other's throats so they could sell paper. So I don't have much use for the newspaper, as you can tell. So I guess that makes me a conservo-liberal. But anyway, if it is true that the Democrats will elect the next president and maintain their leadership in the Senate and the House of Representatives, the odds are we're going to have a lot more laws favoring things like abortion, homosexuality, the freedom of the internet to have all kinds of horrid things on it. We can expect a strong... See, they change from the party of the poor to the party of the immoral or the anti-Bible. That has happened. And so, to a certain extent, which doesn't make the Republican saints either. But then we're going to need the 73rd Psalm. Because we're going... If they come into office in 2008, we're going to seize some real thing. Why? And, you know, it's so dumb. Our president has come out against stem cell research. Do you know why? Does anybody know why he's against stem cell research? I wish, President, if you can hear me, explain yourself to people. But he acts like a typical rich person. He doesn't get down and tell the average person, this is why I'm against it. Do you know why he's against it?
So then it comes from abortion. They have a baby delivered to a full term and then they pull the stem cell.
Yes, because he's afraid that mothers will bring a child to term and then sell it to the doctors so that they can extract stem cells, which they will do. And they will certainly do it under a Democratic government, because Nancy Pelosi, her big remark on it was Bush is just being cruel. I mean, see, these... You know, it's like, are you for global warming or are you against global warming? You know, idiotic arguments. Obviously, there's a global warming, but the issue is not that. It's what's causing it. But they never discuss that. It's just, are you for it or are you against it? Well, it's a good thing that I am a man of a mild disposition, because otherwise I would go stark raving mad at the idiocy of everything. Well, anyway, having got that off all my chest. Now, there's three ways you can respond if a Democratic government comes in and all of a sudden we go way into homosexuality in the schools and way into freedom of abortion and way into freedom of stuff on the internet and animalism and all the rest of it. You've got to have a way to respond that is Christian. Now, how do you respond? There's three ways you can respond. And this psalm gives us the right one. One is you can join them and figure, oh, what's the difference? We've got to learn to be tolerant, so we'll just go that way and maybe we'll try it to see what it's like. Don't ever try homosexuality. That demon is a big one. And if he ever gets his hooks in you, you won't get rid of him easily. Keep away from it. Don't even think about it. Don't even let yourself be tempted. because people get into it and they can't get out of it. So one thing we can do is join them and say it doesn't make any difference. Times are good. The stock market is good. Everything's fine. The Chinese are behaving themselves. And it looks like everybody's going to be ducky. So, you know, so they teach my child to be gay is okay and so on. It's all right. So you can join them. Be like them. Another thing that you can do, and that is, of course, destructive, because that is to go against the Bible, and once you go against the Bible, you're nowhere. You've got nothing going for you. The second thing you can do, which is probably equally destructive, is to fret about it, or to try to fight fire with fire. That is, they're teaching your child the advantages of being gay, so you get so mad, there's smoke coming out of your ears, so you go down there and you give the principal a piece of your mind, and you never get off the subject. You're talking about it at home and completely losing the victory. Evil can make you lose the victory. Not that you're doing it, but that you're fretting about it, and it's not God's will for you to fret about it. If you're a parent and there's something wrong with the school, you should go down and make yourself known, but get prayed through first so that you go with a good attitude, because people pick up on your attitude. And if your attitude is one of, I hate your guts and what you're doing is evil and everything of your father, the devil, that turn you right off. But if you pray through and you've got peace, you go down, you sit down with the principal and talk with them and say, by the way, our family is Christian, we don't believe in abortion. We don't believe in these things. And we really need your help because they're being taught in the classroom. And if you're reasonable and you have God's peace with you, you might very well cause the man to do something. Don't ever fight fire with fire, because the devil is a master of fire. And so when people go and they kill abortion doctors, no, that is not God. It's not his way. Is to fight fire. Of course, we're red-blooded Americans, so we want to get out there and all. That's flesh. That will go nowhere at all. You've got to get God's peace first. Okay, how's that sound? So first, what's the first thing you don't do? You don't join them. You don't do what they're doing because it's against the Bible. The reason that Satan is pushing abortion and homosexuality is because he knows that at this period of history, God is bringing forth leaders. And by having a person be homosexual, he's not bearing a child that can be a servant of God. And if you can get him to abort the fetus, again, you have aborted a potential servant of God, maybe an apostle. And that's what he's after. Just like King Herod went everywhere, killing all the children because he knew that Christ was born. That's why Satan is pushing abortion and homosexuality, is to keep people from being born. See that? You see that? You see how evil that is? To kill children before they're born, or to engage in a fruitless sexual activity that doesn't produce children. So what you're saying is, yes, I want to get married, but I don't want children. And God wants you to have children, because then he takes that child and he may be that he's going to be one that God is really going to use. So bearing children is a good thing. Let the younger woman marry, bear children, die the home. Now, it's not every woman's destiny to bear children. And so she has to decide for herself what God has for her. I'm just telling you that the lesbian and the homosexual and the abortionist is cutting off children. And stem cell research. See how Satan is so desperate to kill the little ones. Let's kill the little ones. Isn't that awful? Think of Maggie Jo and Rihanna, the other precious little babies that we have in the church. Wouldn't it be something if they were never born? Wouldn't it be something if you were never born? What if your father or your mother was a homosexual? You wouldn't be here. It's a heavy thing. So we don't join them, and we don't fret about them. Why not? Takes us right down in the pits. Which if Satan can't get us one way, he gets another. Because The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always and rejoice. So how can you rejoice when you're fretting about homosexuality or something else? You can't rejoice. You can't help anybody. You lose your peace. Okay. The third way, to cope with the rise, which it certainly will, if the Democrats get in, I fear that this will happen, the rise of anti-moral behavior and laws is to keep yourself in God's presence, knowing that God will take care of the wicked. Now, I'm going to give you scripture. He's going to give us a scripture. He's blathered for 15 minutes, and now he's going to condescend to give us a scripture. It's Isaiah 26, verse 3. And I want this to go down into your viscera. How many know what your viscera is? Jason says he doesn't know what viscera is. Does anybody know what viscera is? Nobody knows what viscera is? I shouldn't use that term. It doesn't communicate. Well, it's your guts. How many knows what guts is? That we know. Well, viscera is a term for guts. I want this to get down in you. Let's say it together. Here we go. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Now, supposing they get a law passed that every child must experiment with homosexual activity. Okay? Sure, you're going to try to do something about it, but what do you do first? You get peace. If you do something out of God's peace, it ain't going to work. And God says you will keep him almost in perfect peace depending on the situation. Is that what it says? That what it says, Dan? No. It says you keep your mind, you look at the Lord. Okay, so the whole... No, Maggie, Joe, you can preach later. All these horrible things are happening. Well, I was persecuted in that city, so we'll go to another. Psalm 119:165. Oh, I tell you. But I thought you were going to preach out of the 73rd Psalm. I am. Don't worry about it. I won't give you a lengthy exegesis with all the comments by the various commentators. Okay, let's read it together. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. What about it? King James says, nothing shall offend them. Nothing. If they love God and keep his commandments. So the Democrats can do all the stuff they're threatening to do. All the candidates are saying, we're going to do away with the don't tell, don't don't ask, don't tell law. First thing we're going to do is get rid of that. Well, that's a law in the military that if you're a gay, don't mention it. Don't go preaching it in the barracks. I can't picture, you know, I've been in a barracks. In a barracks in boot camp, in a barracks in a guard company, in a barracks in another place. And the idea of a known gay in there, I can't picture it. He's liable to get slaughtered. But they don't care. Now, there's a blindness to this whole thing. All right, let's look at Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Is that what it says? To whom is God good? Well, let's try it again. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. To whom is God good?
Israel,
we can accept as Christians, who have a pure heart. So that's a condition. That means you got to do it, and then God will do his part. Right?
Right?
Right? Ah. All right. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. How did that ever happen to you? Or were you always on top of it? I am suspicious of people who always smile. I had nearly lost my foothold. Well, that's not doing so good. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, that's one of my favorite doctrines, and be sure to tell Andrew this. When you find yourself getting angry at the homosexual or drunks or somebody else like that, it may be because you're envious and don't realize it. Because you're thinking, well, how come they're getting away with it and I wouldn't get away with it? That runs deep. But when you see anybody that's really agitated about something like that, I can't stand drunks. You know, how come? What's driving you, brother? Where are you coming from? He may be a good man when he's sober. So when you find yourself really irritated about some behavior, watch and see if you are envious. That's what it says. I envied them. They have no struggles. That's the problem with the wicked. You look at them, man, they never have any trouble. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Oh, we see that today with the candidates. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. These are the bad guys. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. You listen to these candidates and the things they're saying during the debates, and I swear, they sound like God. Therefore, their people turn to them. The average guy goes, well, it must be right. They said it must be right. It's in the paper, so it must be right. And drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? We're getting away with it. We've always gotten away with it. God doesn't care, doesn't know. This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Wicked. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. Did you ever feel like that? You ever feel, I've done my best, and these other people out here, they live a terrible life, and they're prospering, and look at me. And I've done the best I can, but God hasn't heard me. It happens to people. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. This is a righteous person. I have been punished every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. In other words, if I go around telling everybody God's unjust, then I'm betraying God's people. You know what I call that? Weakening the hands of the men of war. There are Christians who weaken the hands of the men of war with their mouth. Instead of speaking faith and victory, crabbing about this. And this is what's wrong with the church. And it's not meeting my needs. And the people are a bunch of hypocrites and so on. You weaken the hands of the men of war. Because they're already having a battle. And you're not speaking faith to them. You weaken the hands of the men of war. And I want, if God takes people like that from the church, I don't lose sleep over it. I figure, well, God, you know what you're doing. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. I didn't even want to think about it. I can't make sense out of it. I'm doing everything perfect, and all I'm getting is trouble. And the people that aren't paying any attention to God aren't even trying. They're doing great. Come on. Ever seen that? Probably not, but you may in the future. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. What does that mean? What does it mean? I have no idea. Huh? I went and I quit belly aching about what was wrong. And I went to prayer. I finally went to prayer. You know, they say, if you can't figure it out, why not try reading the directions? Well, that's the last thing you want to do. Well, that's what Christians do. They exhaust everything. And finally, we pray. Well, that's what it's talking about. Surely you place them on slippery ground. See, when you go and you touch God, you can see these people aren't doing so great after all. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed? Completely swept away by terrors. You know, I can remember when they thought Mussolini was going to rule the world. Well, he didn't last. Last picture I saw of him, he was hanging. I don't remember whether it was upside down or right side up, but he was no place. And then it was Hitler. Well, he came close to it. Yeah, but finally, they couldn't even locate his body. They found a body and they weren't sure whether it was him or not. And they were checking the dental records. They see, you know, you haven't been through that. But I'm telling you, the world was trembling over Hitler. And now where is he? Hide him in the history book. That's the wicked. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, and I love this last expression, you will despise them as fantasies. They seem so great, and they were making such big words and big statements. And as far as God's concerned, they're a fantasy. Just a fantasy. No strength. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you will take me into glory. Now that expression may not mean much to you, but it's one of the very few passages in the Old Testament. Honestly, I don't think there's over three that imply that after death we go to heaven. It's almost never mentioned. Usually it's like the 18th Psalm. It's when you die, it's terrible. You know, a lot of places, better to be a living dog than a dead lion, and on and on and on it goes. Who will praise you from the grave? And this stands out. And I wonder if the translator really got it accurately, because, see, he'd be prejudiced to thinking that it means go to heaven. So I'm not sure about the Hebrew at this point. But I just thought I'd point that out to you, because you don't find that expression very often in the Old Testament. Whom have I in heaven but you? Afterward you will take me into glory. And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When you're fretting about evil, isn't it terrible what they're doing? You lose the strength in your heart. You lose your strength. And when you give it to God and realize that they are a fantasy in God's sight, God will strengthen your heart. That'll mean something to you someday. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. All right, now I told you at the beginning that this psalm is about wickedness and the right way to respond to it. What is the right way? You go into the sanctuary. You go in until you touch God. You just don't get down and say your grocery list. You go in prayer until you touch God. That's the right way. Then I told you two wrong ways. What are they? Join them. Do what they say. And that's getting rather prominent. You know, you get well-intentioned people and they say, well, our kids are good kids. And then they join a group that tells you how to be tolerant towards your homosexual youngster. Well, I'm not saying that's bad, but I am saying it gets awful close to joining them. But anyway, sometimes that's a terrific family problem, and I'm not making light of it. And what's the other incorrect way, and the way probably that we have to watch out for more than joining them? Fretting. Reading on it, dwelling on it. And the paper, you see these terrible things. You don't see them in our paper, but they are in the right-wing papers, like World Net Daily. Oh, man. You could talk about them all day long. They are. It's going crazy. All right, let's turn to the 37th Psalm. And everybody in here knows this. I'm almost through, so don't panic. You'll get your sweet potato fries and your cheeseburger. Sweet potato fry. Boy, that woke Mary up. No. All right, I know this. All right. It says, when you see evil men, be sure to concentrate on it. Is that what the first verse says? What does it say? It says, talk about it to your friends and tell them how awful it is. Isn't that what it says? Find everything you can that's wrong and rehearse it. Do not fret. And if you think that's easy, you haven't tried it, or else you're blind, or else completely stupid. There's a lot of things going on that are an abomination. Lloyd can tell you about a lot of them. He's really into the right-wing papers. Or be envious of those who do wrong. See that envy thing again? We don't realize it, but we're figuring, how come they're getting away with it? You know? Envy. Thing ain't right. I can't get to do it. How come they can get to do it? Yeah, it's a little tricky there. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Now look at the word soon. What do we know about soon in the Bible? Yeah, 2,000 years. I'm coming soon. So it's a little different than we regard the word soon. Trust in the Lord, and that's all you have to do, right? What does it say? Well, what does it mean to do good? Give me an example of something that you could do that's good. What? Helping your neighbor out by mowing his grass? Is that what you said? What a sound. Helping your neighbor avoid the draft?
Trash.
Oh, helping your neighbor out with the trash. Well, that's, yes, that's a
good.
That's a good thing. Can anybody else think of something good? What, Isaiah?
Help
somebody that needs help? Absolutely. Beth has a neighbor that has done good. She was telling us about it today. That helps her out when she needed a problem, had a problem. Do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. If you're fretting about the condition of the country, you probably won't do good. You'll be so mad, you want to get everybody else to be mad like you are. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. Just pick out something good and do it. You have opportunity tomorrow to do good. Do it. If it's in your hand to do, do it. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Well, most of us don't graze, but it's interesting how the Bible is oriented toward the farm, isn't it? I really wonder if we haven't gone nuts with civilization. It wouldn't bother me at all if God blew the whole thing up and we all went back to agriculture.
Amen.
I told you that. What was it I told you? Oh, in that magazine we get the good old days. There's not one article from people who've lived in the city. Every one of them was on the farm. Which tells me that if you live in the city, there were no good old days. It's reserved for people who live on the farm. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Well, your cows can pasture. You can pasture on the body and blood of the Lord. Feed on the body and blood of the Lord. That's pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord. I want to stop there. Are you doing that right now? Are you delighting yourself in the Lord, or are you fussed about something? How many times today did you praise the Lord for something? Take the milk out of the refrigerator and praise God it's not sour. You didn't think of that, did you? As long as it's going well, you don't think about anything. Well, practice tomorrow. Everything you can think of that goes right, thank the Lord for. Car starts, praise the Lord. You get on the clothes, thank God you have clothes to wear. You get up in the morning, you got food. Maybe you can have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what kids love. That's their idea of a balanced diet. Thank God for it. What a Tony. What can you think of to thank God for? He got to church on time. Well, some didn't. So you praise the Lord for that. Somebody else. What can you praise the Lord for today? Nobody has anything to praise the Lord for. That's awful. Why? What, Isaac?
For your health.
Health. How could any of you think of that? We have to wait for Isaac to teach us already? Very good, Isaac. Can anybody else think of anything? Huh? To praise the Lord for?
Water, ocean.
What did you say, the ocean?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I love the ocean. Wish I could see more of it. But it's my own doing. I'd see more of it if Audrey had her way, but I'm stuck. Anybody else got something they can delight themselves in the Lord? Your kids. Yes, absolutely. And that one of them just got healed. Now, that's something to praise the Lord for. And Rihanna is doing better. Why don't you come up with that, Sandy? Why don't you talk about your baby? Benny, what have you got to praise the Lord about?
My job.
Or your food. All right. He's getting hungry.
You got a new job recently.
Huh?
You got a new job recently.
Yeah. How come you didn't come out with that?
Almost everyone. I've got a job and I praise God for that.
Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. Are you doing that or are you worrying about tomorrow? Delight yourself in the Lord. And what does it say?
He will give you the desires of your heart.
What?
He will give you the desires of your heart.
He will give you the bare necessities.
That's all.
Isn't that right? I heard a man preach on that one time. He said, well, God will give you what you need, but he won't give you what you want. And I thought, well, go ahead. I didn't interrupt him. But this says he'll give you the desires of your heart, which it says to me is watch out what you desire because you'll probably get it. So be careful what you desire. Commit your way to the Lord. Which I've been preaching with might and main now until everybody's sick to death of hearing it. Everything you do. How much butter you put on your toast. I like a little toast with my butter so you can get some idea of how I do. Anybody else like that? Like a little toast with your peanut butter? Commit it to the Lord. Kids going back to school. Commit it to the Lord. Commit everything that happens to the Lord. Everything you can think of, commit to the Lord. Practice His presence. Bring Him on the scene. You'll do better in school, I'll tell you that. He knows everything. Geography, history, all forms of social studies, all forms of math, arithmetic, calculus, vector analysis, set theory. Everything you can think of, the Lord knows. Chemistry, physics, how to write a clear cursive hand, and believe me, that's something I've never mastered, but it's a good thing if you can do it. I print. I don't know. Trust myself in that. Trust in Him, and He might do this. How many see that? No? What does it say?
Will.
And if they had any gumption, they'd put shall. I don't know why they dissolve shall. I use shall in my writings to express determination and will to express future. They treat shall like a relative they don't want around. I would say he shall do this. Determination. It's not just future. It's determination. He shall do it. They could have said shall, but they don't like the word. I see that in the NIV. They don't like shall. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. Well, think about that. Today when Audrey and I left for church, I said, "What are we on daylight savings time or what are we on?" The sun was so bright when we left. Usually it's not that bright. Let's see what time it was, around 7:30. Bright, shine like the dawn. What's going to shine like the dawn?
Your righteousness.
Your righteousness. Why? What'd you do? What did you do that caused your righteousness to shine? You did good and you committed your way to the Lord and you quit fretting. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. And you're going to be seeing in the presidential election when it comes up, and the TV, the news people by this time have completely exhausted the situation, but they will keep up with it. And then you watch it going. What is it? Blue? What's our side? Blue or red? Whatever it is. You're going to see the whole country going the wrong direction. You wait and see. People can see good out of forcing firefighters to march in a gay parade when they're not gay. And the people that write in can't pick up on the wrongness of that. I don't give much hope for the next election. But anyway, that's politics, isn't it? He will bring forth the justice. He will make sure your righteousness shines. I'm almost through. So relax. Be still before the Lord and wait. What's the word?
Patiently.
The kingdom of God and patience. I want to emphasize another factor. Contentment. It's aligned with, it's like patience. It's one of the most important things in the kingdom is to be content. It's what got the wicked angels kicked out of heaven. They weren't content. Paul says, I'm content in whatever state I am. Wherever I find myself, in jail, preaching, I'm content. Are you content? How many are not content? Don't put up your hand, Anthony. That was a rhetorical question. He is scratching his head, actually. He's a good kid back there, that Anthony. Now, do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Huh? There's a temptation to do that, isn't there? Come on. I'm about through. Refrain from anger. When they cheat you, Tony. When they cheat you. If you get mad, you know what? You lose the battle when you get angry. You lose the battle because you can't hear from God and you're going to do something stupid. Huh? And turn from wrath. Do not fret. Is that a commandment? What does that mean?
It means
don't get all fussed about evil. It's not your job. This is the earth is the Lord's, and He's in control. If you can do good, do it. And if you can't, stay happy. For evil men will prosper and finally go to heaven and be able to eat anything they want without getting fat. Is that what it says? What does it say? evil men will be cut off. You say, well, I wished it would hurry up. It'll come soon enough. It'll come soon enough. It will happen. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit heaven. Thank God forever. Oh, you're too sharp for me. Shall we stand? I'll bet you don't remember that chorus I taught you this morning. The name of the song, the name of the hymn is, what, Audrey?
I believe the true report.
I wish Andrew was here. He'd know that. I believe the true report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I believe the true report. Glory be to God. But I taught you the chorus this morning, and you've never heard it before, have you? Yes, you did. Our historian told me. He says, you taught that to us in the old church. And our historian is never wrong because he writes it down. All right. Well, I'm not going to have you sing the verse, but we'll sing the chorus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glory never fails. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Well, that was kind of weak. I don't sing so hot, so you need to sing. I can't sing like Lloyd. Lloyd, sing like mad by there, back there. All right, here we go. One last time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glory never fails. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Boy, that was so good. I'm tempted to break my word, but I'm not going to, but I'm tempted to. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Praise your name. And Lord, by your grace, we will not fret no matter what happens, but we will go into the sanctuary until we have absolute peace and we can say our God reigns. Hallelujah. And we know the wicked are nothing but a fantasy, just a fantasy. And they throw themselves around like they're God and they're nothing but a fantasy. And they'll be cut off in their time. Help us, Lord, not to fret about anything, but to do good and live in the land and just feed on your presence and your glory. Oh, we love you, Lord. You're so great. You're so wonderful. Does anybody believe the Lord is wonderful? Amen. The Lord is wonderful. You hear that, Lord? Everybody says, you're wonderful. Now, Lord, will you help us on our way home that we're safe and healthy and wake up in the morning. The kids that are going to school will be filled with the Lord, filled with His presence, and not succumb to all this wickedness that's going on, but keep themselves pure so God can hear them and help them. We need help. Our families need help, Lord. We're in a wicked culture and our families need help. So we ask for your help, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guess what everybody got? A plus.